Hey, I'm Kate Conroy.
And I'm Vinny Civitello.
And this is Other People's Business, which is a podcast from the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, which if you're still not sure what that is, we're the largest business association in the state of New Jersey, possibly the galaxy. I think we established that in the episode one.
Yes.
Go back and take a listen. Representing about 1.1 million employees. Check njbia.org for more info.
And today's guest is Rashad Bajwa from Domain Computer Services. So say hi, tell us a little about yourself.
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
Excellent.
Fantastic. So nice rainy day here today in Trenton.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Rainy.
Domain Computer Services has been around for 20 years.
That's incredible.
And so this is actually 1997 to 2017, so it's actually our 20th anniversary. So we've been having fun, growing over the last 20 years. In the last 5 years, actually, we've had a lot of accelerated growth. A couple of other things going on too. You know, we have a couple of other ventures, the Domain Tech Academy, mm-hmm. which is a recent startup that we're doing with Mercer County Community College to address the employment gap or basically the skills gap that we have in America, training folks at the Mercer County Community College to get the technical skills, the IT skills that we need and we're looking to hire. So that's a more recent development. And then separate startup called VizRatings.com, but yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
Interesting. I think you told me once that the unemployment rate in your industry compared to like just the normal unemployment rate, it's ridiculous, right? What was the number again?
Well, it's actually negative.
Negative, right.
Yeah. How does a negative unemployment rate work?
Thank you.
Isn't that amazing? That essentially means that there are more open jobs than people who are qualified to fill them.
Wow.
And so it is.
So if you're going into college.
Right.
Yes.
Kids listening. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So the biggest issue that we have right now is developing folks that have the skills for the jobs that we have. And so that's why it was such a huge thing for us to do this with Mercer County, where Dr. Wong, who's the president there at Mercer County, is working with us to modify their curriculum. And then we also bring the student, I always want to say kids, but it's students because, you know, there's some folks there that are later on in their careers. And we're bringing them in and teaching them the skills that we need at Domain in order for people to be successful. Because the reality is the skills that are required for these jobs, a lot of them aren't part of the traditional college curriculum.
Wow. That's incredible.
So yeah, so we've, literally today, so we're expanding our office space in Cranberry. That's where I just came from right now. Right now, today, we had a whole bunch of the interns learning how to do network cabling. And so it was one of the coolest things in the world to see all of these students. And they're, you know, the other day they were working with routers and firewalls, and the other day it was some switching equipment, and today it's network cabling. And so what we're doing is we are using them in the field for real work with clients, for our own work, and then also with clients. And then that work is the material that they're learning. So they are getting real world on the job training, kind of like, you know, traditionally what plumbers and electricians used to do with the concept of an apprentice. With the concept of apprentice, we've sort of lost that, because we've moved to more of a professional economy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to reinvent something like that, and we're using the same terminology of people coming on board as a novice and then apprentice and then a journeyman and then a master. So ultimately, we have some folks who can fill that skills gap that we have so desperately in New Jersey right now.
That's fantastic. All right, we can't get too far into that though because we have to do an icebreaker. Although I feel like the ice is broken, it's tradition. All right.
I'm ready for it.
You are a man with no hobbies.
Which is amazing when you think about it.
It is amazing to me. But if you were to start a new hobby right now, what would you choose? And you don't have to go first. We might give you some time to think. Vin, I think, volunteered beforehand to go first.
Sure. So I've been thinking about it. It would be one of two directions. So in one of our last episodes, I said that I haven't had time to watch sports in like 20 years now.
Right.
It makes it really hard to talk to people, you know, like small talk. Always, you know, people start conversations about this team or that team, and I'm just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So if I had time, I might get into sports. Or I was thinking, like, it would be cool to go to, like, karaoke bars and do that.
That's a hobby.
Now, all of my karaoke is basically limited to my car. And so it would be really neat to do that. Like, I'm not going to say professionally, but just out there.
Do you have some singing skills, though?
I mean, you would not like hold your hands over your ears, okay. But like I'm not gonna say like, oh, when is the audition for America's Got Talent? And how do I get on there? It's not like that.
That
but,
is
yeah.
awesome. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I like to do the silly songs, so it's like, you know, you're being funny. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter if you're
some
singing.
People don't have totally. A lot of expectations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like the biggest mistake people make in karaoke is doing like a ballad.
Yes.
Nobody yeah, wants to hear a slow song yeah, at no. karaoke. That's no. a terrible idea.
Yeah. But the funnier the song,
right.
the better it is.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. All right.
No, I'm with you. So the backstory behind not having hobbies is I just have no time for them right,
right.
now. So it's not that I haven't had hobbies.
Okay.
I've had hobbies, and so if I had time, I would go back to some of those hobbies. So number one would be I used to play a lot of golf.
Oh,
now
yeah.
I play no golf. The only golf I get to play is like, you know, a round with a client or yeah. something like that every once in a while. That's one. The other thing is I would love, love, love to learn how to play the guitar.
Ooh.
And I guess it kind of goes back to your karaoke thing.
Yeah, sure.
In that I appreciate music. I'm absolutely horrible at it myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so like I could try to do the karaoke thing, but then that's just going to be... when I've heard myself sing,
yeah.
it takes the beauty out of music for me.
Yeah. I mean, on a previous episode, we were talking about how, like, we tried to get in. I tried to get into the guitar. She tried
yeah.
to learn piano.
Yeah. I did.
Did not work
yeah.
out for either
Mm-mm.
one of us, yeah.
So I own a lot of guitars.
Really?
So yeah, yeah. But I don't know how to. Like, I keep thinking if I surround myself with them. But luckily, my six-year-old son is now learning to play guitar.
Oh.
So somebody gets to get the benefit of our guitars.
It's like guitar
a lot.
Yeah.
Like, how many guitars, like, ballpark do you
right.
have?
Well, I mean, you know what I've done? So I bought a lot of them over the years and given them away.
Okay.
Oh.
Just because I feel like it's a waste and they're sitting there.
Yeah.
So right now I have three.
All right, so that's not so bad. I
so
mean,
like
I
technically
feel bad.
Like a Spanish guitar, an electric guitar. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. it's not so bad if you actually played them.
Right,
yeah.
But when they're decoration, three's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I still feel bad about the one guitar we have in the basement that I don't know how to play. I know, yeah. like, any day now, Tara's going to come to me and be like, all right, when are we getting rid of this guitar?
But I mean, it doesn't take up that much space,
no,
though,
it doesn't.
Right?
But, like, still, you
yeah.
know, like, yeah.
Somebody, some underprivileged person could be, you know, have this free
Somebody
guitar
could be
and learning,
music.
Right? Yeah,
yeah,
making music. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, so I was going to say the piano thing, to finally sit down and find a teacher and take lessons and learn how to play the piano, because I didn't consider karaoke a hobby.
Yeah.
I think it is, like singing, going out and doing it, having fun. I think anything that you can go out and have fun doing is a hobby.
All right, well then I want to change mine.
Right.
I want to change mine to karaoke because I am...
So it's either piano or karaoke?
Right, exactly.
It's funny how we could like
we all
band.
Went music.
Music,
yeah.
That's so funny because, yeah, I am also not going to audition for America's
sure.
whatever...
America's Got Talent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I am a lot of fun at a karaoke bar.
Oh. Ah,
I am
go.
A lot of fun.
And that's the thing. I feel like everybody's got to be a lot of fun at a
yeah.
karaoke bar. That's what makes it such an enticing hobby.
Absolutely.
The problem
and
is,
actually,
I don't
if you
know
take it too seriously,
way.
Though,
oh, I agree.
Go away a
yes,
bit?
Totally, totally. Yeah. What's your go-to song?
My go-to song?
Yeah.
So I used to do, and again, like I haven't been to many karaoke bars, but if we're talking about In the Car,
uh-huh.
so like Before He Cheats is a big
oh,
one.
Oh, it's a good
you know,
one.
Because it's funny coming from a guy. In
totally.
Car. Like, yeah, funny to me in my car laughing at myself.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know we're
going
to hear this later, right?
Sure.
I
yeah.
hope so.
After the episode is done. Because I would do so well that we'd get a copyright strike from
we
you.
We totally
like,
would.
And we don't need that.
We totally would.
I also love What a Man, Salt and Pepper.
Oh, I
and,
love it.
Yeah, It's Raining Men by the Weather
Raining
Girls.
Raining Men.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
All
so do you do like
stories.
Falsetto or something?
See, I don't know. What is that?
Yeah.
Is that like
it's
the high notes?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's when you go
hey,
play, like,
I'll just... try it. I'm just not saying like
I mean,
it's going to come.
If you yeah. do this, all these lady songs in a deep kind of baritone.
Okay, but I'm not going to say, it's not like, my voice doesn't go down to like Barry White.
Yeah.
but I'm not all the way up at Michael Jackson either. So, you know, like I can kind of play in the middle ground
that's
there
pretty
somewhere.
Good.
That was
yeah.
awesome. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Excellent. I feel like I have so many more follow-up questions, but we should probably move on, right?
Sure. So, domain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
domain.
So, we're in an interesting situation here. We're at yep. an interesting position where you are the first person to come on our show who started your company.
Okay.
So now we get to ask the question. Like, when we were first planning out this podcast, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if you're sitting down next to somebody and you ask a question like, so you're 15 years old and you take a bite of that slice of pizza and you got the cheese and the pepperoni making little explosions of divinity in your mouth and you decide, this is what I want to do.
Right.
I want to like start a pizzeria and everything. But we haven't had the
no.
opportunity to ask those questions. So
yep.
tell me about like why you decided to start your own IT company.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So the timing was fantastic. So 1997 was a great time to get into technology. And it's a very, very long story, so I won't get into all of it right now. We can go over it over drinks some other time.
Yeah.
But it's me and Michelle, who is Michelle Bajwa now, mm-hmm. but she used to be Michelle Yan back then, who was the other partner in the company. We were both seniors at Rutgers. And our plan, both of us, was to go to law school. And as I said, very, very long
wow.
story short, we didn't go to law school, but we started doing legal service or technical IT services for a lot of law firms. And in 1997, this new thing called the internet. Because back then, believe it or not, and that's the thing, it's only been 20 years, but
I know.
People don't realize.
Hey,
it was
I
AOL
remember.
CDs back then.
Yes, I remember.
And it was
yeah.
Prodigy and modems.
Yeah.
So I set up some law firms with what's known as Microsoft Proxy Server.
Mm-hmm.
They're all sharing an internet connection through just a little dial-up modem. I blew their minds. They're like, this is amazing. Next thing you know, all these lawyers are calling us wanting to get onto this thing called the internet for, you know, for legal research, for
yeah.
to share files, and it could mean we're setting them up with a network. And it just, you know, hand over fist, more and more lawyers started reaching out to us. So much so that the lawyers came to us and said, yeah, you know, you might want to try this whole computer tech thing. like, don't worry about law school.
Who knew
like,
all yeah, this was yeah. going to take off?
Wow, yeah. That's a huge
Who knew
departure.
That? Think about the last 20 years. Where yeah. would you wanted to invest money in?
The internet.
You know, I mean, by the way, Amazon right. started in 1997 as well.
Yeah.
Now they had obviously a different trajectory as domain,
yeah.
but the point is, this has been a really good time. To technology has taken off. Every business. You look at 1997. We had blue screen WordPerfect. We had word processors. Most people didn't have a database, didn't even know what a database was.
Nope.
Now, flash forward 20 years, the whole world. I mean,
yeah.
you could be a 7-Eleven, or you could be a law firm, or you could be a financial services firm. Everyone has computers, whether
yep.
it be for a point of sale service, you know, for, you know, Square or
mm-hmm.
charging a credit card. Or in professional businesses, it runs your entire operations.
Yeah.
If your computers are down, you're out of business. And so that shift has been so dramatic over the last 20 years that more and more responsibility and just people, more of their eggs are in the technology basket, that people have learned to depend on us more and more. Firms like Domain didn't exist 20 years ago, meaning small and medium businesses didn't even have IT service providers.
Mm.
The concept didn't even exist. You would have the IBMs of the world that helped big companies with mainframes, because the PC actually just started coming around in 1995, 96, 97, you know, Windows 95, Windows 98, things along those lines. And so we were one of the first of our breed, meaning we're a dinosaur 20 years in our industry. Now there's a lot of other people that do what we do, but the whole point is people now, even small businesses, depend on technology so much that it's not okay to just have your brother-in-law do it anymore.
Right.
You know, you need to have a professional, because you have real money at stake, real payroll at stake, real efficiencies at stake. And if you pick the wrong provider, there's a huge risk. So that's why, you know, there's been a good place for Domain to kind of, you know, create a business for ourselves.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. All right. I have another question for you.
Yeah.
If your alarm clock could wake you up with a scent, what would you want it to be?
I'm thinking bacon. You know, there was like an episode of The Office once where they did
yes.
that, where he had the little George Foreman grill
yeah.
next to his bed and he accidentally stepped on
yeah.
it and burned his foot.
Right.
I mean, I guess, would you want it to be a good smell or would you want it to be a bad smell?
I mean,
because like the bad smell would get you out of bed.
But then,
like, do you really want to wake up to a bad smell every
no,
day?
No, I'm thinking, like, garbage or something
yeah.
awful.
Oh, God.
I was actually initially thinking, like, cinnamon rolls. That would be so nice to wake up. Like, it's that combination of baked bread, like, homemade bread,
yeah.
plus the sweetness of, like, a breakfast pastry.
I'm with you on the whole breakfast angle, but I'm not going to lie. I had an immediate thought when you asked me that question.
What?
DiLorenzo's pizza.
Oh, my
oh,
gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
A man after my own heart.
And by the way, which one?
Well,
Sloan for me.
The one in
not Robbinsville for me. For
Sloan,
me, it's Sloan.
The one next
it's
to
Hamilton.
AMC Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah.
That's Sloan.
My
DiLorenzo. Yeah, yeah.
That's
your DiLorenzo.
So free plug for DiLorenzo.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Exactly. I still have actually never been there. I can't
lie. I've been going there for like 30.
Have
meaning, we
really?
Used to go when it was down on Hamilton Street, like down in
wow.
and,
We need a field trip, office field trip.
Oh, yeah, Hamilton Avenue. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. All right, but here's a question. Would you want it to be the scent of a food, but the food's not really there? Like, the scent wakes you up.
Yeah.
You get out of bed, but then it's gone?
I'd want the pizza.
Right, I would too. I'd want the bacon. I would want the cinnamon roll.
Oh, yeah. And then, speaking of the pizza, so then, like, I'd have a craving for pizza all day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, no, that I don't know if that would be a good thing.
That'd be terrible.
Maybe it's best that the alarm clock is just
sound. It's just an annoying sound.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, so back to domain. IT is a big industry these days.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go in 10 million different directions. Do you guys have kind of a niche, a specialty, like something you guys like to focus on?
Sure, and that's a very good point, because when you talk about computers or IT, people kind of tend to put it into one big bunch. Especially because of our focus on the SMB space and the small and medium businesses, the big demand right now is in cybersecurity. And so that's an area that we've had to build out our own specialty over the last, I'd say, definitely over the last 5 years, although we've been doing it probably for over 10 years. So, for example, myself, one of the first certifications that I got when we were starting Domain ages ago was known as a CISSP, and everything's an acronym in our industry.
Yeah.
But it's a Certified Information Security Services Professional. And so that's essentially one of the gold standards. And so those sort of certifications, we have certified ethical hackers, we have a wide variety of things along those lines, because one of the biggest things that our clients look for us now, and this wasn't the case way back when, you know, in 1997, it wasn't on people's radar, but one of the most important things that people are looking for us now is that cybersecurity expertise to keep them safe. And so way back when we were first doing the IT, it was all about how do we boost efficiency? How do we get you to be more productive? And you know what? We did a lot of that over the last 20 years. The last 5 years, although that's still there, there's no doubt about that. We've made a lot of progress in the productivity space. Now it's, okay, we've made you more productive. We've given you access to these tools. How do we secure them? How do we make sure that these productivity tools can't be used against you? Because that's the big problem now, where you've now put all of your data into a database. But now that database, or if you're a medical office, you've made all your records electronic. But see, when they were on paper, at least you had risk. They could have burned or whatever it might be, or somebody could have broken into your office, but you know they were in a physical space. Now they're electronic.
Yeah.
And somebody can steal all of them without ever even being in the United States.
Jeez.
If you don't have the correct safeguards in place. And so I think a lot of the focus has now, it hasn't gone off of efficiency. Efficiency is still there, but security, cybersecurity in particular, is, I think, it's where all of the best work is being done right now as far as folks in our industry. Those who are kind of rising to the top are those that understand our responsibility is not just productivity and efficiency, it's all of that in the context of cybersecurity.
So where is the big threat?
The big threat right now is users.
Right.
So it's the people. And you know, I think it was in one of the recent NJBIA cybersecurity summits we were talking about this. You know, the most important firewall is the human firewall.
Yeah.
And we as IT folks have to do our part, and that's been a problem with IT folks in general. We can definitely, you know, use the screwdrivers on the devices, but figuring out people is sometimes not the best thing that IT people are good at.
Mm. Well, we know fear works because, Vinny, you have a funny...
Well, we have this, one of those programs here where our IT director has a service where they send us all these fake phishing emails. Phishing, for people who don't know, is when, like, somebody tries to send you an email that tricks you into, like, downloading a virus or tricks you into giving financial information or something that would allow a bad actor, a bad person to take over your stuff, whatever. So we get pinged with these fake bad emails all the time. Yep. And it's just to see if we'll click on them. And we have gotten terrified because they'll call us out. Like, I mean, they don't say, like, all right, Kate Conroy clicked on the link. But
well, you'd be surprised. Some places will go that far.
I mean, we're getting there because we get to a point where it's like one person clicked the link, and then everybody around the office is like, "All right, so who was it?
And that's the whole point. The whole point is to make people conscious. Even for example, we sent out a phishing campaign on the first NJBIA Cybersecurity Summit right before went off. These are people who are all about to go to a cybersecurity summit the next day, and we had like a 30 or 40% hit rate.
Oh, I forgot about that. I think we talked about it at the event.
And that's right. So, meaning these are cybersecurity professionals, people who are about to go to a cybersecurity event, and they hit on. The one that we find is really successful is if you know the organization that somebody's involved in, a LinkedIn request. And so, because we can make the LinkedIn request look just like a legit LinkedIn request, and almost always people are so excited to get it from somebody that they either knew or were expecting it or hoping that they would get it from. Yes, yes, yes. And then, you know, it's not that person.
Yeah. The other thing you guys did at that event that I remember, the Wi-Fi was really bad in that room.
I remember.
And they set up their own pineapple. And again, for people who don't know, a pineapple is a fake Wi-Fi hotspot that you connect to thinking is like, oh, free public Wi-Fi. But really, it's some, I'm going to call it a hacker, a bad actor, whatever, sitting at a table, like collecting all the data that comes through. You guys set one up not to really like...
No. So we're a white hat, meaning we're the good guys. Yeah. You'd rather have us... take over your computer and teach you a lesson than have the bad guys do it for real.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, the way that we use the pineapple, that kind of, it's known as a rogue access point. Mm-hmm. And so essentially it's imitating the access points that you're used to, whether it be in Starbucks or Hilton Honors or whatever the SSID is that you're looking for. And we were having, in the cybersecurity summit, we were taking over everyone's phones.
Yeah.
And we were able to see pretty much anything. Yeah. We were able to get passwords. We were able to do all sorts of things. Now, obviously, we're good guys. We don't use it for those purposes. Our purposes are to wake people up, to shake them and say, look, you need to pay attention, because that is what the bad guys are counting on. The fact that just out of convenience, you're going to connect to every free Wi-Fi. Out of convenience, you're going to click on every link.
So that's just it. So unless I'm at home using my own Wi-Fi or here using the office's Wi-Fi, are you saying never, ever, ever use Wi-Fi? Ever?
Open public Wi-Fi.
Open public.
Yeah, open public Wi-Fi. Or at the very least, you need to understand the consequences. If you go into a Starbucks and you connect to AT&T Wi-Fi, you're assuming that the AT&T Wi-Fi is the AT&T Wi-Fi that is being sent out by Starbucks. The reality is I can, you know how easy it is for me to type AT&T Wi-Fi on an access point and tell you that I'm it?
Wow.
And you're just going to connect to the internet, start browsing the internet,
right,
not knowing that you're on my connection versus Starbucks. So, you know, the reality is people are still going to use these. But just don't, for example, do online banking at Starbucks. You know, if you're going to browse the web and read CNN, God bless you. Do it at Starbucks and let the hackers see all the news articles you're reading.
Gotcha.
Educate them.
Yeah. But, you know, are you going to submit payroll there if you're a small business?
No. Yeah,
probably not the best idea.
You know how sometimes you've opened a whole bunch of stuff and then you can close everything all at once? If you haven't closed, like, your TD Bank or your Bank of America, if that's still kind of open and running in the background, and then you jump onto a Starbucks Wi-Fi, is that still available?
Those are generally safe, because what's going to happen is most of those things time out after a period of inactivity.
Right.
And a lot of the times on the banking side, they're aware of where you're connecting from, and they will have put safeguards in place.
Okay.
So I don't want to be a scaremonger and say never use your computer or be afraid all the time. but that's what KnowBe4 is for, to some extent. It's making you paranoid every single time you click. So at the very least, we can never give you 100% certainty, but we can make you think. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're thinking, you're halfway there. You know, and you're going to provide a lot more safety than somebody who's just randomly clicking. And, you know, and to go back to the KnowBe4, the interesting thing with KnowBe4 or other things like that, so we have another service that we use that's very similar. It's the same people over and over again. Mm-hmm. When we send a blast out, you know, normally, depending on how high quality the fake spoof is, you know, we'll get a 30% success rate, 50%, 15%. If we send that same spoof out, like literally the exact same thing, obviously most people are now onto it. And by the next time, it goes down to 10%. We can still keep sending. There's a certain group of people in this world
that will always click.
That will always click on the thing.
Wow.
And those people are the ones. We all kind of know who they might be, but those are the people that are the most dangerous to an organization. And those are the people that either need to be trained, but if they just can't be trained, you just got to pull their access rights. I mean, I guess you could fire them. But, then, you know, it's quite something to fire someone just because. But the reality is there's businesses who are going out of business, members of NJBIA who are going out of business because somebody clicked on something incorrectly, and it is the biggest shame in the world that an organization can literally be exposed just because somebody is not even willing to pay attention.
Well, like I said, like sometimes it's very tricky, you know? Yeah. Like some of these emails, it's not just, you know, some machine that's generating, like some of these, they put a lot of thought into really
It's called spear phishing, meaning it's not a broadcast. They know who you are, they know who your environment is. And so, for example, at the NJBIA Cybersecurity Summit, the one that we used was a LinkedIn request from Dave Weinstein.
Yeah.
And just because we knew he was going to be going there, we knew these people were going to go. So that, we're going to get a very high response rate to. But if it's a generic, you know, Aetna has changed your coverage. Bank of America. I mean, there's enough people with Wells Fargo and Bank of America and Aetna that you'll get enough people. Some people will be like, wait a second, I don't have Aetna. But a lot of people are like, who do we have again?
Right.
And click on it regardless.
There was one, I mean, it came through, I want to say like a few weeks to a month ago, and it was a this wasn't one of our IT director, Gene Tom, big props to Gene Tom.
Yes.
It wasn't one of like our fake ones. It was a real phishing thing. And it was a service that I subscribed to, and it was, you know, it looked so real. I almost clicked on it. And the thing that stopped me was I was like, wait, I don't subscribe on my work email. That wouldn't have come through here. Yeah. This has to be phishing. But I was that close, you know, and it's just so scary. You know, like, it's not even like you're not intelligent enough or whatever. Like, sometimes the best of us can...
Absolutely.
That's why you have to have multiple layers. Meaning, even though you train people at the human firewall, you still have to have a content filter. Mm-hmm. Where even if somebody accidentally clicks on bankofamerica.com, not realizing that the C is missing at the end, the content filter is smarter. It knows this is a rogue website, and it'll prevent you from actually going to it. So that's why they always say there's no one fix, silver bullet to making people secure. You have to have multiple layers. So have these fake phishing campaigns to train your people, build the human firewall, but then you actually do need a real firewall.
Yeah.
And you also need these things like content filters so that way people can remain safe. And we're finding, by the way, businesses is one thing. Consumers, there is such a huge gap right now, especially in seniors. Everyone is online.
God, right.
The seniors are getting onto Facebook just because that's how they see the grandkids' photos now. And they are being taken advantage of. And so everyone, you know, it's a real shame, and we feel ISPs should be doing more, but anyway, that's its own conversation for another day.
Well, now that I'm completely depressed. Wow. All right, we're gonna try to bring things up a little bit.
Sure.
All right, so we're gonna close out the show, as we always do, with a hopeful question. What are you hoping for this week? And if you're ready to go, you can go. If you're not ready to go, one of us can go.
Yeah, no. So this is actually a big week for us because I just came back from a quarterly conference that we have where we meet with our board of directors to kind of, you know, revisit a lot of our game plans and our business strategy and things along those lines. And so the Domain Tech Academy has been running now for a while, which is our Mercer County thing. We're going live on campus.
Wow.
This week.
Wow.
And so actually on campus.
It's a big week.
So we've had all of the interns working out of our offices, but now we're actually going back to the campus, getting them settled because the semester is going to be starting up in the next couple of weeks. So my biggest hope is, you know, just having a lot of success with getting that up and running and making sure that we're plugged in into the college and developing as many of these. Once again, I want to say kids, but these students as possible because, man, prior to the Tech Academy, we didn't look at community college kids. We always required a 4-year degree just because, you know, we felt like that was a minimum threshold. Dr. Wong convinced us, no, look at some of our folks. You'd be surprised. Some of them, it's just, you know, out of financial reasons or whatever that they weren't able to develop. Some of our best people now are coming from there. And I can see that there is such a treasure trove of local talent in New Jersey developing those skills here as opposed to, I'll be honest with you, we had to offshore it before.
Yeah.
Because the only place we could find people that had these skills before were in India or Philippines.
Wow.
And so now the reality is we get to have those same skills here. And that's pretty cool.
That's outstanding.
So pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's definitely hopeful. I love it. So mine is not quite so lofty. I know it's August. I know that the summer's almost over, but I've been meaning to do it all summer. I finally ordered a hammock. I have a hammock frame, and the hammock, like the fabric part, was kind of broken. So it's a long story. So I ordered a replacement hammock, and it's supposed to come this weekend, and I am so ridiculously inordinately excited about it. I can't even really talk about it.
What are you gonna do in your hammock?
I think I'm gonna sleep a lot.
Stack of books this high? Something?
Yeah, I'm gonna bring a bunch of books out and
now how are your hammock skills? Have you used a hammock before?
I have. Getting in and out is
okay.
Of course.
Yeah, because
difficult.
Yeah, so it can be a really good experience or a really bad experience.
Right, so I need to like take care of everything in the house first, bring beverages out, like stack them all, bring it all in.
Yep.
Like it's gonna be like camping. Like bring it all with me. And then once I'm in the hammock, I anticipate not
leaving. Within arm's distance.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly, that's my plan.
Because if you start reaching a little bit too
that's
far.
That's right, then you like lose your balance and you freak out, or at least I freak out.
So are you tying it to like two trees?
No, I have the frame.
Oh, okay.
So this is like an urban hammock.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Or suburban hammock.
Yeah, I live in Plainfield. We're pretty urban.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't have trees in my yard that are big enough to tie.
Because I was going to say my hope for the week was that you don't fall out of your hammock. Because if I tied a hammock to two trees, I'd be like really relaxing, and then suddenly, boom!
You gotta work on
your
knots.
I would just ground like a sack of potatoes or something.
Well, fingers crossed that doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Is that your hope?
Yes, I don't have a specific hope for this week. I think I'm gonna hope that everyone listening to the podcast has a great week.
How's that's that? Awesome. Yeah. I like that.
Very
I like
nice,
that.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's our show.
So. Tell all our listeners how they can find you and domain.
Sure. So our website is go-domain.com, or the Domain Tech Academy is domaintechacademy.com. Our phone number is 888-330-8808, and give us a holler, and we'd love to help you guys out.
Awesome. So please subscribe, everybody, on your network of choice, iTunes, Google Play. We're on the Amazon Echo, anything you can think of. If you can download or subscribe to podcasts, we're probably on there at this point. So rate us. If you're listening to this on a network that allows ratings and reviews, iTunes does, as an example. Please give us the full 5 stars if you like the show. If you don't like the show, you know, email us at OPB, other people's business, but OPB at njbia.org. Let us know what we could be doing better. We're still relatively new at this.
Definitely. And thank you so much to our early subscribers. We really appreciate all the buzz out there. You are sharing the podcast love, and we noticed, and we really appreciate it. And finally, thanks to Rashad Bajois from Domain Computer for joining us today. We appreciate that, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.